go to John chapter 15 and verse 14. We are looking at the word O for obedience. And we've talked about this, that obedience is not a very popular word. It's not a very popular idea. From deep in times of creation where Eve was tempted by the serpent, all the way up to the 80s and 90s when I was in school and we were taught not to obey, march to the beat of your own drum, be different, be unique. But what they never really understood about obedience is that you're always obeying something. You never really get away with it, right? I think I used the illustration of this last week where, you know, there was a time where we were kind of grabbing onto this goth look. If you don't know what that is, that's the people that dye every hair on their body black. And they lighten up their skin with the makeup, and the makeup is black on their lips and black in their eyes, and all the clothing is dark, and they've got as much as they can pierced. And I'm not picking on anybody that looks one way or the other, but the point was this: be unique, be different. We had 16 unique people. We got into the theater, and people would wear this kind of hat and be these kind of pants, and why? Why would we do that? Why would we go and buy this to be unique? To be different. We got into high school, right? And you had the athletic people, and they wore the certain kind of pants. All the people that played football had the same kind of pants. Why? Because they were unique. Together. You're always obeying something. Right? Well, I don't march. I don't do what the rest of the religious crowd does. I follow along a different line of thought. Great, where did you discover this line of thought? Well, I bought some books. Well, you're obeying the person who wrote the books. Well, no, see, I get rid of religion altogether. I get rid of religious thought altogether. And what I like is this more atheistic, humanistic type teaching. Internet, there's person that I follow on social media, they've got some great things to say that align with what I like. And really, that's what it is. We always like to obey what we like. Right? There are rules and laws that we like. I love speeding limits for different people, for other people. Right? I love that for them. Have you ever done this? Have you ever driven down and needed to do, you know, turn around real fast? So you looked up the road, you looked down the road, there was nobody around, so you just kind of turned around in like the biggest spot you could, you just kind of whipped around and went. Anybody do that? You ever see anybody do that? Now, when you see somebody do that, what do you think? You fool, what are you doing? Never mind the fact that you just did it 2 weeks ago. We obey what we like, don't we? Well, I like this because it's easier to live this way. I like that because it allows me to do this thing that I like. We all choose what we obey, but we're going to obey something. Even if at the end of the day what you're obeying is your own fleshly lusts and desires, you are obeying something. Going back to where I asked us to start off, John 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now listen, this is not the kindergarten, if you don't do what I tell you to, you can't come to my birthday party kind of a conversation. If I am friends with Christ, I know who he is. I know what he knows. I understand. Right? What we want to do is we want to see God for who he is. And when we see God for who he is, it is easier to follow after what he says to do. I've met a lot of people who thought they knew things. In the end, they were completely wrong. And the whole basis of why they thought they knew was because they wanted to have the biggest voice. We are filled in society where there is no knowledge, there is no understanding, and a complete lack of wisdom. We took Danielle out for lunch yesterday. Danielle likes sushi because, well, she's cultured and I'm not, so I don't like it. Right? She's traveled the world. She's done exciting things. I've never been much far past the road between here and Florida. That's about as far as I've ever gone in life. But she likes sushi, so we found one over in Frankenmuth. We took her over there, and she liked it. And on the way out, the kids grabbed a hold of those fortune cookies. Now, I'm not a big fan of fortune cookies, but they like to eat them, so they grabbed a hold of them. And I've got one I'm opening for Gideon, and I'm opening up, and on the inside of that cookie was black. Now, was that overcooked? Was it something from something fell into it? I don't know, but whenever I see that, hey, we don't give that to the kids, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm opening the cookie, and I say, hey, guys, whoa, don't eat the cookies. Put the cookies down, right? Let me see the cookie. Put them where I can see them, right? I think there's something wrong with them. There's Gideon in the back with his decades of baking prowess, his understanding of food safety, and all of his understanding of bacteria, mold, and all matters of yeast. No, it's not. It's fine. Now, that poor boy, you want to know why he believed those cookies were fine? Because he wanted them. Welcome to the modern society. It's right because I want it. That's what they teach. It's right because I want it. You know what? You can want some things aren't so good for you. Right? We were just talking about that food in the back. I wanted all that food. Right? But I tell you what, there becomes a problem when you let want rule you and now you can't tie your shoes. Right? That's mean. It's not mean. It's not. It's frustrating. Right? It is. When you're talking to your doctor and your doctor says, listen, you got to change your diet or pick out a casket, one of the two. That's not very nice, but it's reality. Want very seldom exists in the same realm as reality. Want is wild, it's passion, it's fleeting. You can want this, change your mind, want that. We can't build decisions solely off of wants. Now, there are some things we can give right over to want. Well, do you want this color or that color? Do you want red or blue? Do you want chocolate or vanilla? Some things we can give all the way over to want. But there are a lot of lifestyle choices we cannot give to want. We have to give to truth. And who do we know as the maker and the decider of truth? Who do we know that has a better understanding of all things in this world other than God? If I'm his friend, I know who he is, right? I'm his friend because I trust him. So therefore, I'm going to do what it is that he has asked of me. And I also know this, that because he views me with love, he's going to do what we looked at in the last week. And we're going to see that his commands are not grievous. Right? I met a parent one time who says, now, when you have kids, remember, you got to tell them no every now and then just so that they understand the word. That confused me, right? The whole purpose of yes or no is to establish barriers that would help them, that would build them, that would instruct them. If I say no when I can say yes, or I say no and there's no problem with saying yes, I've confused the issue of right and wrong even further, right? Well, we could buy our kids this, but I say no just to keep them in, just so they understand who has the authority in the house. Well, no, I say no if I think something's no good for them. And I say yes if I think something is either, if it's neutral or better, I'll say yes. All given in the proper time and the right understanding, right? Hey, Dad, can we go play outside? Is a lot different at 9 a.m. than it is at 9 p.m. No, 8:30 is bedtime, go to bed. Right? But the point that I'm trying to get at is this, is he's not going to break our hearts. The things that God gives us is not going to dramatically hurt our lives. Right, we may have to give up want. It may be a bummer a little bit when we can't have everything we want. But at the same time, it's not going to kill us to be able to give the wrong kind of things up. Now, what's perfected in our lives, according to 1 John 2:5, when we keep God's word, is the love of God. It's perfected in that way. I've had this conversation with our kids often enough where we'll get into a car, hey, we got a big thing going on. Maybe we're going to go over to the museum. Maybe we're going to go on a family trip, and we'll have a hard time getting in the car. Well, for us, it starts off with getting up. We'll have a hard time getting up, have a hard time getting through the bathroom, have a hard time getting dressed, have a hard time finding our shoes, because I tell you what, if there's one game we play in the Rolling House is where's my shoes, right? So by the time Mom and Dad get into the car, we are frustrated. Now, why are we frustrated? Does that mean we don't love the kids anymore? Of course we love the kids, right? Or else we'd have left them behind. Right? Our love for them has not changed, but it's not perfect. I love you, but I'm yelling at you. I love you, but I've just taken away this or that for the next 2 weeks because you weren't obeying me. Now, let's flip the switch. Let's say they get up before Mom and Dad do. Not too early, though, but just enough. I open my bedroom door, and there's three little kids sitting on the couch. We still have to go get Melody. We don't let them bring them down. And they've got their shoes on, and they've got their clothes on, and everybody's gone to the bathroom, and everybody knows what we're doing, and everybody's excited. We get out in the car, and we're good. That's a different atmosphere, isn't it? It's different. Right? Our love looks right. It is right all the way through. There's no anger. There's no punishment. There's no resentment. There's no sniffling, crying in the back. Everything is as it should be. When I reject what God tells me to do, when I am constantly running from shame and the decisions that I make, when I'm always fighting off the consequences of what I'm doing, when I always have to sit there and grumble about everything that God puts in my life to wake me back up, the punishments, the corrections, when I'm always grumbling about those things, the love is not quite perfect. It's not quite complete, is it? It's different than when I am in perfect and wonderful relationship or wonderful step with God. It's different. What it needs to happen is I need to walk close to Him, right? We'll notice this every now and then when somebody does something wrong. What happened in your house when your kids would do something wrong? Would they come out and sit next to you? Not always. Sometimes I can always tell who's done something wrong by the fact that they refuse to be in the same room with me. Right? I had to just recently take somebody aside. All right, what'd you do? Nothing. Nah, come on. All right. That's what happens. It's not perfect. We want distance between us and God. Right? There's punishment coming from God. There's correction coming from God. It's not perfect. But when we are in obedience, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, the love of God is perfected. Not to say that God stops loving His children when they sin, but it is not the same relationship. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, I've known a lot of Bible scholars who don't do a thing. I've known a lot of people who, oh, you know what, we have church at home. Oh, you know what, I've studied the Bible under this, this, that, here, and I've done all these things. I don't need to go to church. Or they are professors of religion. They'll sit there, they'll teach you all about the religions, but they do not practice nor follow. God is not impressed by how much you know if it is not backed by obedience. Right? God did not give you knowledge so that you could feel smart. He gave you knowledge so you could do the things. That's what we've got it for. Right? What is the purpose of knowing the doctrine of election or the doctrines of grace? It is to aid in your giving of the gospel. I've known a lot of people that would much rather talk about Bible theology than do what a church is supposed to be doing. And that's sad. Right? Through the course of the conference, you hear so many people, well, you know, you don't see a lot of these anymore. And you just kind of sit there and you wonder, is it more valuable to say it? I'm not picking on anybody. I've said it myself dozens of times. Is it important to just say that we don't see enough of these anymore? Or is it important for us to get into the efforts and do something about it? Right? Anybody remember hearing about the old-fashioned tent revivals that would go on for a week? They'd be planned for a week, go on for two or three. We've all heard about those. Many of you maybe even attended them. Here's where I'm at the disadvantage. Those were done by the time I had a car. I'm at a disadvantage for that. Those are legend in my understanding. They were once upon a time stories. What's more valuable, that we know or that we do? That's where we drop the ball, by the way. It's not the devil. We stop doing. Now, I say that in the light of everything we just did in the last week, so take that within problem. I'm not correcting us, but it is a good challenge for us to have. Well, nobody prays with their family anymore. You never see kids doing this. You never see adults doing that. You know what? That's great to know, but we're not supposed to be hearers only. We're supposed to be doers. Go out there and obey. Well, you know, God don't like that. Okay, if God doesn't like that, and you know God doesn't like that, what are you going to do about it? Matthew 7:24-27, God compares the life of an obedient person as a person whose house is built upon a rock. Now, Brother Charlie brought up some amazing points this morning concerning the philosophies of this world. And one of the worst things about the philosophies of this world, outside, other than they're outside of the will of God, outside of what God commands, that's number one. But number two, they change. They change. If we were to go back and we were to get some of the politicians that are pushing the propaganda that we see today on either side of the aisle, we were to go get them 30 years ago, bring them today, they would absolutely hate the things they're saying. And if I were to sit there with a video recorder or with a video and play some of the speeches Joe Biden gave 30 years ago, he would sit there and turn green. I can't believe that's around. Get rid of that. Or depending on his mood that day, is that me? It's bad. They don't recognize the stuff they said 30 years ago. They don't stand by the stuff they said 30 years ago. Why? Because it shifts. You have to understand this, that politics is no longer politics. It is business. It is a popularity contest. Everything we see around us is built on shifting sand. The stuff that people are sitting there cursing their parents for today. Well, you guys believe this. We've got a brand new enlightened way. Guess what's going to happen if the Lord tarries is coming for another 30 years? The kids of those kids will be pointing their finger at their parents going, look what you did to our society. And if the Lord stays back another 30 years, another group of kids will be pointing at that brand new revelated group of people and saying you were wrong. Why? Because philosophy shifts. God does not. They're building on shifting sand. What is new and popular and flashy and woke and at the height of understanding is not going to be accepted 30 years from now. They'll be the conservative group. They'll be the fuddy-duddies. And while that scares people like you and me, it should bring some awakening to the people today when they're grabbing on to all these new philosophies. Well, it's new, it's different, it's wonderful. It's not new, it's not different. And if you live it a while, you'll understand it's not wonderful. See, what's needed is the right attitude. What's needed is the right attitude towards obedience. Well, I don't want to do what other people tell me to do. Nobody does. Nobody does. Can I tell you, I've got a prediction today, and I think I'm already right. I think we're going to get some bad behavior out of these kids during the sermon. What do you think? I think so. And here's my guess. Here's why I guess that. We have great kids. We have wonderful kids. I love the kids in our church. We get compliments on the kids in our church. I'm not throwing stones. But here's my prediction. When you take them for two whole days and a couple hours on a Tuesday and force them to sit still, eventually that tank runs dry. You understand? That's Why? It's human nature. Why is it that when we take Melody or Little Victor and we bring him in, and all of a sudden you hear him go, ah! It's human nature. Sit still. No. Behave. Not gonna. And as they get up and they become teenagers, they've got more ability to fight. They've got stronger wills and they've got more brain cells going on there. And they can fight in different ways. Even you today, in our hearts, we struggle. Right? I still like to think I've got my youth with me. I woke up this morning going, get me through today. Why? Because our bodies rebel. They fight things. We don't want to fall into it. The moment there's a rule, we want to break it. We want to pick and choose the rules. I'm okay with me having rules. Other people not have rules. That's the way we are. Don't tell me what to do. Well, I even joked about that at the conference, didn't I? Wait, you expect me to both write the rules and follow them? How am I thought it was funnier than you guys did. Maybe it's because of the hypocriticalness of it. I get that now. I hear it. No, but seriously, we push against those things. Why? It's our sin nature. Here's the problem, though, and I mentioned it in the beginning. You're going to obey something anyway. We need to have the right attitude. Right? If it's all a matter of me not wanting to be underneath anybody else, that's a miserable life. You're going to hate every boss. You're going to hate even your own self. Even to the point where people try to summarize themselves like television characters. I always this. I never that. You know what happens after 2 or 3 years of trying to live a life that backs up your statement of I always this or I always that? You're going to change and you're going to hate that. Right? Oh, I love this song. It's my favorite song. You're going to listen to that until you want to die. Right? Well, this is my favorite food. And after a while, everybody's giving you that food. Every time you see them, they've got the, you're going to hate that food. My mom, she did this thing where she got this jacket that had Tweety Bird writ on it. And all of her family and friends saw that, and they thought that was so cool. Guess what her house is still filled with? Cartoon character stuff. Now, where does she have it? She's got it stored up in the back. Why? Because she's a full-grown adult, and that's a cartoon character. Just the way it is. Oh, we're always going to obey something. The problem is, you got to obey the things that will last. You got to obey the things that are good. You at least got to be, you got to be listening to something of merit and value, something that will stand, something that will help. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, I've followed rules in the workplace that not only made no sense, but they created more work. I didn't like them. Right? It seemed like every time they would come up with an update to shorten the amount of work I would have to do, it would turn into more work. And I'd sit there and they'd give us lunch and you'd be sitting there with your sandwich from Jimmy John's or something. Oh, this is going to make your life so much easier. It's going to make work so much better. It's really going to streamline everything. That was the word. It's going to streamline everything. Awesome. Okay, so I used to do this in 5 steps. Awesome. But with just a 10-step process, we've revolutionized that. What? I hated following those rules. Especially if they created more work and they made no sense, right? All right, so listen, we used to be we would do this. Now we're going to do that. Okay, but that right there, that gets in the way of the other rule that you just let out this week. And now what am I supposed to do with them? I just do your best. Okay. There are some laws that are grievous to us. They're irritating to us. They create more work. They create more issues. They create more trouble. I have never done what God has asked me to do and regretted it. Never once. And under no circumstances have I ever chosen not to lie, and it bit me. Right? Never once have I not cheated where I was tempted to, right? Whether at work and business and business, whatever. Under no circumstances have I ever done wrong or done right when I could have done wrong, walked away going, man, I wish I had done something wrong there. More sin has never been a help to me. But when I did what God asked me to do. Right? How about this? Have you ever lost friends because something happened and you were never able to address it with them? Right? There was a conversation that you could have had that you didn't have, and now there's years of distance and time between you. What does God say how we should handle conflict? I have never once gone to somebody to discuss something with them and walked away worse for wear. Oh, I might have gotten chewed on a little bit, but at the end of it was understanding. At least now they know that there's forgiveness on my side. At least now I know I can walk away with it with the door open for them to come back whenever they want. I've never left it that way. Right? I've never walked away going, oh, I wish I would have disobeyed God and just let bitterness rule. We do damage to ourselves, but there's delight. We get things back, right? If I've got a misunderstanding between me and somebody else and I go and I talk to them, I could get that person back. I've got a list of people that I wish I could be close friends with again. Right? And again, it's not, at this point, it's not even because of something I need to do. Just something happened, conversation went wrong, they made a decision to do something worldly, or I reacted in a more aggressive way than I should have, and gaps appeared, and time filled the gaps, and I lost that person. I've also had it where I've had the exact same things happen since then, and I immediately went to that person and said, hey, listen, this is what I thought I heard. This is what I thought you meant. Can you give me some clarity? And they said, no, brother, this is what I thought. This is what I meant. This is what I really was trying to say. And I say, okay, good, all right. Or, hey, listen, I did this. More often it's this way. I did this, and I'm concerned about how it landed. Can we talk about it for a second? And what do you walk away with? You walk away with your friend. You walk away with some peace in your house, right? Hey, honey, listen, I know you're upset at this thing that I did. I just want to let you know I'm sorry. Now, that goes against the modern-day teaching that, what? We don't apologize. We don't admit that we're wrong. We never put ourselves into that position, right? If anybody ever sees weakness in you, they'll destroy you. No, we follow the Word of God, and we get the friend back. We follow the Word of God, and we stay out of jail. We follow the Word of God, and we've got peace with all those that we do business with, and we've got peace with all those that we love. When we follow God, there's delights. Deuteronomy 26:16, obedience is to be with the whole heart and soul, not begrudging, not with the idea of, well, fine, I'll just do what I'm told. That's not the point. The point is never to prove whether or not you'll do what God says just because he says to do it. Because he could grab a hold of you and force you into anything he wants. That's not what God wants. He wants you to see it. He wants you to see it. Right? If I ask, hey, Brother Art, how do I get to such and such a place? And he gives me instructions, and those instructions takes about 15 minutes to get there. And I go to Brother Charlie, say, hey, Brother Charlie, how do I get to such and such a place? And he gives me the instructions, and it gives me, and I can get there within 20 minutes, right? Which instructions am I going to follow? Well, I'm going to follow the ones that get me there faster, right? Now, so I do that. And in my heart, my soul, is it because, well, I got to do what I'm told? No, these instructions work. Called somebody just recently, hey, this broke, how do I fix it? Well, you do this, 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 and that. I follow those instructions. It's not about me bending my will to some mechanic or some carpenter or some builder or some teacher. It is not about the bending of my will to God. The fact of the matter is that when I do bend my will to him, the instructions work out. I trust him, I honor him, I obey him. It works out. Now, again, I don't obey God because I see the meaning to it. I obey God anyway because I know he's got it together. It is just better. It is better when my heart and my soul is in it. It's better when my heart and my mind is in it. Right? I'm looking at the Word of God. Well, I've never done that before, but God tells me to do it. And I'm uncomfortable, and I don't know if that's exactly the way I want to do it, or this is my personal favorite. See, doing that is just not who I am. Let me remind you that who you are is a fluid creature. Who you are is a fluid creature. You're not a television cartoon character, right? You're not an avatar that they put online where your characteristics are cemented in stone. You're born, not in the ways that a lot of people, I was born that way. You weren't, right? You're born a blob. You're born empty. You're born a shell. What it is. You pick things up, you develop experiences, right? Well, I'm cantankerous, and I don't know if I can follow what God says. Or you're not cantankerous. You're just hanging on to a bad reaction to stuff. Let it go. That's what it is. Well, I'm nervous, and I'm shy. You can be nervous and shy, but you still got to do what the book says, right? You'll find it in you. God will put it in you, right? So we're looking through. This is what God says to do. Hey, God is who he is, and if that's what he says, I'm going to do it. Right? Regardless of what I think, the heart and the soul needs to be there in our obedience. Or else, what is it? It's not as strong. It's hollow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this.